times like this, I like to quench my thirst with a delicious Wolf Cola.
Wolf Cola, the right cola for closure.
Hello, my name is facebook.com/clubsodakenny, and you're listening to Game Stuff. It's none other than the great Coke Logic.
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Super Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. First off, let me say thank you to our new sponsors. Super Game Stuff is a proud part of the Wolf Cola family. In fact, I think I'm going to enjoy some Wolf Cola right now. This episode, I have an exclusive interview with the Dark Knight himself, Batman, and I will be spitting some truth about Rage and Dark Souls in the True School Hip Hop video game review. But first, let's talk some video games. The follow-up to 2009's Game of the Year, Batman Arkham Asylum, is about to be released on October 18th, Batman Arkham City. Depending on where you're listening to this, you may have already came in your pants playing the game. But for those who still have time to pre-order to get your pre-order bonus DLC, here's what we're looking at. It was rumored that Walmart, with the purchase of Batman Arkham City, was offering a $10 gift card, plus the full retail version of Arkham Asylum. But I couldn't find any concrete evidence of this on Walmart.com, so it was probably just a rumor. Fuck that deal. But there's better deals out there. And I'm not talking about Amazon's mini comic book that you get with the game. Fuck that deal too. What I'm talking about is Best Buy is offering an exclusive Robin DLC challenge map. The only way to play is Robin in the game. Until November 22nd. It has been accidentally leaked by retail competitor GameStop that Robin will be coming to everyone with $7 as future DLC. So if you didn't pre-order from Best Buy, you didn't completely fuck up. Also coming soon is the Nightwing Bundle Pack, which is Robin's less gay alter ego. I can only assume it's a series of challenge maps and Nightwing as a playable character, also for $7. And it's not too far off, the Nightwing Bundle Pack will be released on November 1st. I personally ordered Batman Arkham City from GameStop, not because of the Joker Carnival Map Pack DLC, but GameStop had the Batman Animated Series character skin that I simply must have to have. And you might think to yourself, say, wasn't there a shit ton of Batman skins from different eras and media for pre-order? Well, there was, but it's a disaster trying to keep track of all of it. Most of the DLC skins were given to retailers in the United Kingdom, and with region locking, a shit ton of good that'll do us here in America. GameStop had the Animated Series skin, which was not advertised, and I had to seek out information on GameFAQs.com just to find where the hell I can get this fucking thing. The Collector's Edition has the Dark Knight Returns skin, and who even knows how to get Frank Miller's Batman skin? Fuck it. The answer to all of this is just wait a few weeks, and all the costumes should be on XBLA and PSN for downloadable purchase. Most likely $2 a piece, that's just a guess, but they are milking the shit out of this cash cow. And finally, if you're planning to get the most out of Batman Arkham City, you're going to have to buy the game new. It's just been released that Catwoman, who has been planned for a very long time to be a playable character, is now only unlockable via a one-time use online code that comes with the new game. So if you rent the game, you can't play as Catwoman. If you buy the game used without a code, you're going to have to pay $10 to unlock her missions. It truly is a bunch of bullshit. I mean, come on!
Come on!
Come on! Why do publishers do this? The answer is to try to deter the customer from the used game market, so you buy a new copy of the game. It's a really shitty trend that's going on, and it doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon. Batman Arkham City will be released on October 18th. Go fucking buy it. Battlefield 3 is going head-to-head with Modern Warfare 3 this fall, even if it kills them. Battlefield 3 is only 2 weeks away, and this is the perfect time to talk about the game. Except, I can't. I haven't played it. I downloaded the Battle 3 beta, but I was never able to connect to a game. And if I was connecting, it didn't last long enough to even figure out which button does what. So I got nothing. Nothing except stories of how buggy the beta was and excuses from DICE.
Oh, I'm gonna come, what'll it be? In your snatcher, down the hatch!
DICE, the game developer. Excuses that the build of the beta was pretty old, that they only put it out there to stress test the servers, but they promised the final game will be perfect. And if you can't trust a video game developer to shoot you straight about their product, I don't know who you can trust. And if you thought, well, I'll rent it and try the multiplayer. Wrong. It's published by EA, and they have that disgusting Project $10 bullshit, which means you'll be locked out of the multiplayer unless you buy the game new. If I was DICE...
Put it in the jar, but fucking bottle. Not at $2.
DICE, the game developer. I'd put out a multiplayer demo toot sweet. One, to prove that the game isn't a crippled piece of shit that has more bugs than a Fallout game, and two, so people on the fence can actually try Battlefield 3, because the hard truth is everyone on the planet has played Call of Duty by now. It's Battlefield 3's job to break that up, and they're just not doing a very good job. Modern Warfare 3 is going to sell a shit ton. Even if you don't want to buy it, you're going to end up buying it. That's the way these things work. Battlefield 3 is kind of hoping for some sort of Call of Duty fatigue. I just don't see that happening. You want to directly compete with one of the biggest entertainment franchises on the planet? You're going to have your shit together. And I don't want to sound like I'm complaining. I'm very much Team Battlefield 3. I really want to fucking play it. But I don't know what this is about. Battlefield 3 will also be releasing an optional high-res texture pack that you can download from XBLA and PSN at release on October 25th. High-res textures as a free DLC. What the fuck is this? I can only assume this is to rush the game out to meet the street date, or perhaps the improved textures are an option because they drop the frame rate below 30 frames per second. But what's the real answer? Disk space? I don't see that happening on a Blu-ray. I have no fucking idea. Like I said, I'm Team Battlefield 3, but they are really fucking themselves in the foot here. Red Dead Redemption Game of the Year Edition is now available for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. It has all of the map packs that were released, plus Undead Nightmare. It's an amazing value for an amazing game that just got more amazing. Go buy it. Dead Rising 2 was recently released. No, not Dead Rising 2 that came out earlier this year. This is another Dead Rising 2. Dead Rising 2 Off the Record. A game that takes the locations of Dead Rising 2, plus a new carnival area, and replaces the new character, Chuck Green, with the original Dead Rising protagonist, Frank West. Not only does the game use the same assets from the game they just released, but they've also recycled a good deal of dialogue. The story in Off the Record is pretty much the same as Dead Rising 2, except it's Frank West in the mix. So it's an odd what-if scenario that is actually closer to the first Dead Rising game, where you took photos of zombies for points. It's all fucked up. This seems like it could have been a very cheap DLC for the people who already bought Dead Rising 2. Kinda like how Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 should be DLC for Marvel vs. Capcom 3. But at least Dead Rising 2 Off the Record was released at a reduced price of $40, which is already reduced further to $35 on Amazon.com for the PlayStation 3 version. Maybe I can see buying this when it hits $20. I don't know. Skyrim! Am I saying that right? Oh, Skyrim. Yes, Elder Scrolls V Skyrim is coming out 11-11-11, and the PlayStation 3 fanboy BlueHealerKY on Twitter has asked me to talk about Skyrim. It's gonna be epic, but I've not heard a lot of new information in a while, so nothing great to report. I think I heard there'll be 12 unique dragons to fight in the game, but that's either a fact or a false memory, I can't remember. So I'll just use this time to give a shout out to Cousin Dave on Twitter, who retweets every Super Game Stuff link. Thank you very much. Reviews for the Eco Collection, Eco being spelled I-C-O, have been circulating for so long I assumed the game had already been released a month ago. Turns out it was just recently released, so if you couldn't find it in stores until now, that's why. The collection is HD-enhanced versions of two classic PlayStation 2 games brought to PS3, Eco and The Shadow of the Colossus. Both are amazing games, but Shadow of the Colossus is the real standout of the collection. If you have a PlayStation 3, go play these games. They rule. Finally, The Binding of Isaac is $5 on Steam. What the hell is Steam? It's an online distribution service that fucking rules. What the hell is The Binding of Isaac? It's a 2D game that mixes the art layouts of the original Legend of Zelda for the NES and Smash TV-style shooting mechanics. The Binding of Isaac is from one of the makers of Super Meat Boy. But while the humor and challenge is still intact, it didn't quite live up to the hype. It's a roguelike game. Okay, what the hell does that mean? Well, a roguelike game is where you have one life and no continues, and the levels are randomly generated. So you never know what's through the next door because you have no way to memorize the maps. It has all the ingredients to be great, but I just did not find it to be all that and a bag of chips. But for $5, it's completely accessible to try for yourself. Coming up next is my exclusive interview with the Dark Knight, Batman. Hi, this is Coke Logic from Super Game Stuff, that show you were just listening to. And I'd like to take a moment of my time to talk to you about Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Recently, the Big Kev's Geek Stuff studio was robbed. All of their recording equipment has been stolen. Their laptop, their microphones, their speakers, perhaps even some action figures. But the point is, what they need you to do... Sorry, what they want you to do... No? No, they need this. What they need you to do is go to Big Kev's Geek Stuff and find the donate button that's on the front page. Any and all donations will be welcome. Even $5 would be fantastic. Of course, it probably would be better if it was more than $5. I mean, this is recording equipment here, folks. Good intentions does not buy equipment. But on a serious note, please go to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and give what you can, and all that you can, but not more than you can. But the point is, donate to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Thank you. Hi, this is Coke Logic from Super Game Stuff, and today's episode is very Batman heavy because that is the big release coming out on October 18th. So I thought I would try to get an interview with the Dark Knight, Batman. And I'm just kind of waiting here. He told me he'd meet me here, but so far he hasn't arrived.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. Okay. He was behind me. Okay, it turns out he was behind me. That's always fun to do to people. All right, let's get this interview started. Hello. Thank you for coming here today.
The pleasure is all mine.
Are you going to talk like that?
Talk like what?
Oh, dude, this fucking joke is so old.
What joke?
All right, never mind. I'm not doing the interview if you're going to talk like an asshole.
You're the asshole.
Interview over. Sorry, folks.
Suck it.
Whatever, dude.
I've got to stop the Terminators.
Wrong movie. Coming up next is the True School Hip-Hop video game review of Rage and Dark Souls.
I am the law.
That's the wrong movie.
Hello, it's Club Soda Kenny, and while I never listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, I always listen to Special Delivery. Sam and Dave, every Saturday night at 9 p.m. on XM 105 and Sirius 206.
DJ Bloodshot, give me a beat.
Ah, that's nice. DJ Bloodshot, everyone. Laying down the True School hip-hop beats underneath these reviews. Think I'm gonna ramble a little less on these video game reviews and kinda try to stay focused a little bit more. First off, let's talk about Rage. The first thing you notice about Rage is it's fucking gorgeous. There's no one around that could say, Rage, it's not fucking pretty. I didn't know textures could be that high resolution. It's insanity. It's fucking just gorgeous looking. And the fact that they're doing 60 frames per second, like a solid, not just like, oh yeah, we touched it, we tapped 60 frames per second or whatever. 60 frames per second the whole time. Boom. It's fantastic. But the problem I had was exactly what I suspected from seeing all of these videos, which is it's a great shooter, but that's pretty much it. It's a really good shooter, but shooters have progressed so far these days that you really need set pieces, you need gimmicks, not cheap gimmicks. That's not what I mean. I mean something to draw you in, something special. Take Bulletstorm for example. Bulletstorm had a lot of great kicking people into the sky and then shooting them, and then they'd land on a cactus and you'd rack up all these points. But when you're using all these things in concert, it really became like this fun experience. What Rage is people kind of rush at you and that you shoot them. Now that sounds like a shooter, but then again, that sounds like a shooter. That's what it is. I never found anything where an enemy was flanking me. I never found anything where it was very intelligent AI. We're gonna get to AI in a second. But I just found that it wasn't an open world environment because the driving was from point A to point B. And it's not as big as you think. See, I think that it would be like, oh, we'll go on in Bethesda, who makes Fallout. I would hope they use this mega texture technology to make the next Fallout game, and that would be so kick-ass because, oh, look how If you got Fallout 4 that plays like Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas, but looked like Rage, it'd be fucking epic. It'd be insanity. Which, they're in the business of making money, so that might happen. But you sure can't say it ain't beautiful. But you sure can't say it's a deep game. A lot of people compare this to Fallout. I think I just did inadvertently by bringing up the name Fallout at all. And they're like, well, Fallout or Borderlands, is it kind of like that? Because I don't know, like RPG elements. No, there's hardly any RPG elements in this thing. You know, there's weapon mods and some vehicle upgrades, but it's not a deep character building experience. Your character really doesn't change. I think there's some outfits that you can put them in and dress them up, but then again, it's a first-person shooter, so you don't even see that shit. Brilliant. But I think the best comparison someone had was, if Fallout 3 is a Western RPG with shooter elements, Rage is the opposite side, where this is a shooter with RPG elements. Which I think that was the best analogy. I wish I could remember who the fuck said that. Some podcast, I can't fucking remember, who cares. But the reason it's so damn pretty is megatextures. What the fuck is megatextures? Here's how best to describe it. Picture a room where you have a TV and a couch and a lamp and some carpet, four walls, ceiling. And in a normal game, you would have a texture for the TV. You would have a texture for the lamp and the couch and the floor and the ceiling. All individual high-resolution textures that all have to get loaded into the game. What megatextures are is the TV, the lamp, the couch, they're all put into specific places in that room. And then a large texture is blanketed over the entire scene that gives the TV texture, the couch texture. It's really fucking amazing. It's great technology. But I do have my suspicions on why they did a post-apocalyptic game where there's a lot of desert, a lot of mountain range. Is I could see that this texture use is probably best for cement buildings and dirt and ground and gravel and hills. You can't throw a mega texture of grass. I don't think that works out right. I think you need, you know, most games that have grass, they have blades of grass, and there's a lot of math going on there. So I don't know. I don't know what they can do. But very impressive technology. You know, they say it's an open world game. It's not an open world game. Red Dead Redemption, one of my favorite games, is an open world game. You can go anywhere at any time. What Rage does is create the illusion of an open world game by having these vast, big areas. It's just that they're inaccessible. To me, an open world game is somewhere that if you see a tree out in the distance, no matter what it takes, you can get over to that tree. This isn't the case. There's a lot of fucking areas that you can't go to. And most of the game is spent in your buggy, your vehicle, your ATV, going from dungeon to dungeon. Or not really dungeon to dungeon, but just you'll drive to a bandit's hideout, and then you'll go into a door, and it'll load a separate area. So it's not streaming, like, it's not fully open and whatnot. But it does open the door to say, wow, I'd like to see this. I'd like to see more of id Tech 5 in use. The game starts out really slow, and I've heard that it's a 12-hour game, 10 to 12-hour game. But what I've heard is it's divided into two parts. It's divided into the wasteland, and then there is, I don't know if this is spoiler territory, but there's like Subway Town afterwards, where it's more buildings and subways and sewers and stuff like that. So you got two halves in the, so you take that game and you cut it in half. I've heard that the first half is better than the second half. All right, now we're down to 6 hours. And I've also heard that the first 2 hours are very slow, and you have to trudge through those first 2 hours to actually get to the good stuff. I probably never made it to the good stuff because it was just so fucking boring that I just never made it there. So I guess if Rage is good, I guess that awesome 4 hours of gameplay is what you want. Of course, who the hell wants to pay $60 for 4 hours of gameplay? Stupid. But the reason I was not having fun was the enemy AI. And I've heard this from two sources. I'm going to play a couple clips here. I've either heard that the enemy AI is amazing, that these enemies are doing fucking flips off the wall, and they'll run, and they'll do a tumble, and they'll climb on the ceiling, and nothing ever plays out the same way twice. It's insane. But what I had was I'd shoot a guy in the head, and he'd grab his arm. No one flanked me. I threw a grenade, and they actually ran towards the grenade. When I did see some of this acrobatic, awesome AI, dynamic AI bullshit, what I saw was there would be a bandit running towards you, but instead of just running directly towards you, what he would do is he would do a flip in the air, and then he'd tumble, and then he'd jump onto the wall for a second and jump back down. It's kind of like Indiana Jones, where the guy's doing all of these impressive tricks in front of you, then Indy just pulls out a gun and shoots the guy. It was like, oh, hey, yeah, do some tricks, yeah, do some more cartwheels, it'll be fun. Okay, now you've run up to me, I'll just shoot you in the fucking head, end of bad guy. But right here, we have two different opinions. One is from Arthur Geese from Rebel FM, and the other is from Shane Satterfield from Invisible Walls. Here's Invisible Walls.
The gunplay in this game, I fucking love it. And why do I love it? It's because the enemy AI. I've never played a game like this where every single battle you have no idea what's going to happen. The closest thing I can remember to something being similar to this was the first time I played Halo.
That's a good sign.
And you had no idea what was going to happen with the enemies in that game. And you know, Bungie's talked about how we tried to build the game 15 minutes at a time. The way the enemies react in this game, every battle is different. They never do the same thing twice. I reloaded levels to see if they would do the same thing twice. They don't. You get in these big battle arenas where you watch the enemies. They're crawling over the environments intelligently, diving over benches, jumping up on the ceiling, climbing. They never just run straight at you.
Okay, and now here's Rebel FM.
The AI in Rage is virtually non-existent. Like, it's all scripted.
I think you played a different game, bro.
I think people who say that the combat in Rage played is amazing are playing a different
game. I didn't say it was amazing. I'm just saying, the AI, did you play it?
No.
Did you play it, Anthony? I don't know. I didn't find the AI to be particularly... I mean, the way you describe it, you make it sound like it's just below average and droll.
I mean, I do think it's below average and droll because what you're saying, like the things that you're pointing out, are the way that those enemies spawn. And once they've spawned, they're just doing the same shit, which is either running at you or running away from you and hiding behind a barrel and popping up. And that's all they do.
Two podcasts released on the same day, who played the same game, got two entirely different opinions. These are polar fucking opposites. So, Rage is okay. It's not great. Anyone who says it deserves like a 9.5 or a 9, they're just, I don't know what the fuck. I'd put this more at a 7 or a very generous 8 out of 10, just because you cannot deny how fantastic the technology is, how great it looks, how smooth it runs. I really wish every game ran as smooth as Rage did, but what are you gonna do? Dark Souls is the spiritual successor to Demon Souls, which it's the spiritual successor because of legal reasons. It's the first one was on PlayStation 3, so instead of calling it Demon Souls 2, they're saying it's Dark Souls, and now it's multi-platform. Which, thank you, because now I can play it on Xbox 360. It's very nice. I had no idea if this game was going to be too tough for me. The goddamn website's called PrepareToDie.com. The whole thing is, this game is so unfair, but you'll fucking love it, it's rewarding. And you know what? It's rewarding, but it's not unfair. You're gonna spend a lot of time in the very first area. You'll probably spend an hour in the tutorial section. When I say tutorial section, I'm not saying that it helps you along any way, shape, or form. What I'm saying is, it's probably the nicest, safest area to kind of get used to it before it throws you into the full game. It is that brutal. The key to this game is the souls. That's what you're trying to get. When you kill a bad guy, you get his souls. Souls are currency. They're the same thing that you use to upgrade your weapons. They're the same things you use to upgrade your level. So they have this nice thing where souls are very valuable because there's so much you can use with them and they're so easily lost. So the gameplay is like this. You start off at point A, a bonfire, and you're trying to make it over to point B, another bonfire. And in between A and B are a bunch of enemies. Really tough enemies at first. And you fight the enemies, and you may win or you may lose. Wherever you die at, that's where your souls go. Kind of like a World of Warcraft thing where you have to go retrieve your shit. If you die on the way to getting your souls that you've lost, they're gone. And you're just starting a new soul collection. So what this game is all about is fighting the enemies, leveling up, then going back to your bonfire and try to up your stats. Go out a little further next time, do the same thing, hopefully not die, go back to the bonfire, upgrade your stats. And you kind of inch your way further and further in the game until you actually reach this next destination. If you go to a bonfire and you rest there or you upgrade or anything, just interact with the fucking thing, all of the enemies in the world respawn. Every single one last one that you've killed, except for bosses, respawn. So you have to think to yourself, do I want to go back and upgrade my stuff to hopefully go further in the game? Or do I want to press on, kind of like a press your luck kind of bullshit, see if I can go further? But the further out you go, the more intense it becomes, and it's just this tug-of-war type situation of, do I go back or do I go further? And it's just very addicting, because the whole thing is about leveling up. It's not like a regular RPG where for every enemy you kill, you get experience points. You don't get shit. If you happen to find a better sword, you do get to keep your weapons and your armor and stuff like that, so that's a little advantage. But there's nothing worse than having a bunch of souls collected, fucking up and dying, and then thinking, holy shit, I died at that point. How the hell am I going to make it back to that point without dying again? And when I do get to that point, that's where I died. So how the fuck am I going to make it further if I died there? I'm going to have to fight my way to get those fucking upgrade souls and then go all the way back and then do it again. It sounds repetitious. It is. But it's about as addictive games get. I fucking love the game. I rented it, and this is one of those games where after you rent it, you like, alright, well, when my rental's up, I'm gonna go buy this, because, you know, I need to finish this game. And when you do die, it is probably your fault. If I had to give this a score, I would say 9 out of 10. Really wish I can give it a 10, but you gotta reserve a perfect 10 for something. Maybe Demon's Souls 2. Or whatever the fuck I name it next. Dragon Souls, something with a D. As much as I want to say buy it, because it's a fucking, it's a 9 in my book, you have to rent it first, because you don't know if this game is going to be too frustrating for you. So rent it. If you fucking like it, buy it then. That's what I did. Alright, I said I wasn't going to ramble, and then I rambled. So I'm going to wrap up the show. This has been Coke Logic for Super Game Stuff.